Welcome to a brand new week. Dr. Randy here from Intentional Living, and we're picking up on the topic of communication in marriage, and hopefully maybe today a marriage will be saved or encouraged as we unpack what does it mean and share with you the top seven from researcher Dr. John Gottman, top seven predictors of saving marriages, the top seven tips for making your marriage communication work and improving your relationship. This is good stuff. This stuff works. I've seen it work in the lives of people, and I'm going to get through all seven of those. I started last week and I didn't get through the list, but today, all seven of the top from Dr. John Gottman from the University of Washington, plus a lot of interesting calls as people share with us the power of one thing in their marriage, one thing they're doing to make their marriage work. And by the way, we'd love to have you participate on our storyline as you call 888-888-1717. That's 888-888-1717. As we go to the calls, what is it that makes a difference in your marriage?
I think that what could lead to a very successful marriage is having a sense of humor, especially with your husband, who may just be joking around or trying to be funny, and maybe you're a little uptight, but just indulge him. Let him think he's funny. Don't take life so seriously. Also, another thing I think is really, really important, and something that I do, try to do every single day, is find something to praise your spouse, because you will eventually find that you're not the only one doing the praising. It's reciprocal. Many times it is. So I would say praise and have a sense of humor.
Yeah, laugh a little bit even when he's not funny, which happens a lot around. My wife comments on that. I always try to keep things light around the house, and that's really corny. But she humors me. That's good. Talk about marriage communication on this list. Number one is seek help early. Half of marriages that end in divorce do so in the first 7 years. As a counselor, I've worked with many couples, and you find that if things don't get settled early on, at best, they carry into a lifetime and create regret and pain and difficulty and trouble for a marriage, and at worst, it creates a divorce. So seeking help early is important. Number one, Dr. John Gottman says to us, seek help early. When you see you got a problem, you go to the doctor, you get help. Number two, you edit yourself, EDIT. What that means is couples who avoid saying everything and on their minds are consistently the happiest. And I mentioned that verse in Proverbs 25, that a word aptly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver. We need to be careful what we say. At my conferences, like we had at the Night of Hope a week ago in Phoenix, I brought my word shredder. Yeah, a paper shredder. And dozens of people come up at halftime and they write down on a piece of paper something that they want to shred from their vocabulary. But words that they use either toward themselves or toward their spouse or others that they know can be damaging. Because I said, leave it here. And I let that shredder fill up as I travel around the country. We fill that baby up with the little pieces of paper that are unreadable, and that's good because they're gone. And so people who are successful in their marriages learn to shred the things that they should not be saying that are not going to be helpful. Number three, they soften their startup, which means to be careful not to escalate an argument. And in our marriages, there's things that we can do to escalate an argument. Ignoring our spouse, the words that we choose to speak or not speak, a look or not looking into their eyes, not paying attention. These are things and many other things that we can come back with, criticism, reminders, you know, the smart remark. We want to defend ourselves. And those things tend to escalate an argument. Instead of staying focused on the problem, we become the problem and we escalate the problem. There's the first three. Four more. By the way, of the top seven for making your marriage work, five of them require communication. And so being a good communicator makes a difference. All right, let's go to Conrad. You're next. What's your one thing for communication?
Well, one thing I've learned in communication has been to ask more questions and make less statements. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, one thing I've had to understand is my wife enjoys, you know, having intimate conversations. And one thing that's helped me a lot is to be able to ask more questions than make statements. Because, you know, I know in my life personally, the last thing I want to hear is someone offering advice that's not wanted. And so those questions really kind of help guide the conversation, which in turn creates more intimacy in our marriage.
Yeah, it does. And for people like me who make a living telling people how to live, it's easy not to think that. Learning to ask questions are important. What kind of questions would you be raising with your wife to get conversation going?
I would, first of all, listen to her emotion and then, I guess, paraphrase how she's feeling, such as, I understand that you're upset about this. You know, tell me more. What made you upset about this situation? And kind of capturing that emotion to help understand her heart a little bit better.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back. Have you ever had an aha moment when you realized you needed to make a change or do something different in your life?
We don't have very many aha moments. We're so busy doing what we're doing, working on what we're working on, speaking for myself, that those aha moments just kind of come and go.
In Dr. Randy's message, How to Have More Aha Moments, he'll explore 10 ways you can have more of these moments and stay away from crisis moments in our lives. This month, we have an incredible opportunity as some friends of the ministry will match your gift dollar for dollar up to $10,000 to help reach the critical fiscal year-end funding need. To receive unlimited access to Dr. Randy's teachings and send in your matching gift, call 888-888-1717 today or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Thank you. And I want to remind you here at this midpoint in the month, just a little bit beyond halfway through June, that this is the end of our fiscal year. June 30th, we wrap it up. And I have a report to our board of directors who oversee the entire ministry coming up in the middle of July as we move into this new year of ministry. And as we report, one of the things that we maintain as a board and as a ministry is we don't borrow money for the general operations of the ministry. Unlike other places we know, maybe like our federal government. Hello? You with me? And we're hearing about it. For years, we didn't really think about it. Now, when we look at the national debt and how that creates the interest payments that you and I have to cover, it's huge. And so one of the things we determined many years ago, back, early 2000s, I mean, like 2001 or two, we made a determination as a board, we were no longer going to borrow money to operate the ministry for just general operations. We want to honor you. We value you. We value your support. We value the fact that as a member of the team supporting the ministry, that you're giving sacrificially and it makes a difference. And so here in June, as we're wrapping up this fiscal year, we have the friends that have been matching everything up to the first $10,000, very close to that. That becomes $20,000, right? Matched, 10, then the 10 that's being matched. And that's $20,000 toward the additional need for the month of $50,000. And so as we go into this last half of June, let me just really challenge you to pray about the most generous gift you could help us with here at Intentional Living. And we promise it'll go to reach more people through our podcast, the radio program, events, publications, online things that we do. Thank you. How do you support? Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Click on donate or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717.
Hi, My name is Lois, and I listen every day to you. I am a partner, and we've been married, my husband and I, for 55 years. And I just finished reading a book on marriage, a Christian book, and I listened to Dr. Randy, and I learned more and more that I'm able to put into use. And you think after 55 years that I would know what there is to know, but I don't. I need to have the Holy Spirit show me every day. And he helps me by listening to Dr. Randy, by reading scriptures on marriage, and to just hang in there. We don't get, you know, we have our times where we don't agree with things. And it's like Dr. Randy said, we need to listen to one another. We need to encourage one another to talk to one another, because sometimes it's easier not to talk if you're not going to agree with one another. But that's not so. Thank you. God bless you for all that you do. Bye.
Isn't that nice? Thank you. I appreciate that. Very thoughtful. You all taking time to call our storyline and just tell us what's going on in your life and why you're listening and how intentional living is making a difference, and how we can pray for you or whatever. That is really precious. And we do our best to try to keep up with the hundreds of calls that come in over time. And we love hearing your story. In fact, we might even share one on the air. So you can call and share your story at 888-888-1717. All right, Donnie, it says here that the word approach means something to you with communication. Go ahead and explain that.
So the approach for me and my wife is, it's actually how you approach any conversation. So, you know, if the lady before said, you know, about nagging, and nobody is really nagging, what it is, how you approach someone. So again, my thing is, you know, I'm constantly at my desk working, and my wife wants to spend a little bit of time. So her approach to me is not, hey, you're working too hard, you need to get off the computer and you need to come spend time with me. You do this every day. That I would take as her nagging me. But instead, her approach is, honey, I really miss you. Really want to just spend some time, even if it's 20 minutes to watch TV. Do you think you can carve out a couple minutes? That's something that I'm comfortable with. I would want to do it because of her approach to me, and vice versa. If it's something I want to purchase, and my wife, you know, usually financial, it's a huge issue. And between me and my wife, when she says something to me about what I purchase, I would ask her, hey, honey, you know, you think I can purchase this? It's just something I would like to have, you know, not necessarily we need it, but I'd like to have it. And I feel that having that type of approach, rather than saying, hey, you stay home, I work all day, I bring in the money, I should be able to buy this, that's the wrong approach.
Yeah, and I think we get in trouble with the wrong approach.
Exactly.
A lot.
And in doing so, we respect each other. So me and my wife, we'll have little spats here and there, but and we just go back to the approach. It's how you first verbally said what it was, and that's where the issues, you know, come off. Because you can say something semi-hurtful, or I might take it the wrong way, and then it just spreads from there. So if you approach it calmly and with respect, I mean, to this day, my wife bumps into me and she'll say, oh, sorry, honey. And the same thing, you know, I might spill something. Oh, my apologies, honey. I'll pick that up. It's having that type of respect and that approach is what's making our relationship thrive.
Absolutely. And Donnie, I think that's what we're talking about here with Dr. John Gottman from the University of Washington, and his research of thousands of couples finds that these top seven tips on really connecting, five of them require the right approach. That's really what we're talking about. Edit yourself. Soften your startup. Number four, accept influence. Did you know that a marriage succeeds to the extent, I find this really interesting, a marriage succeeds to the extent that a husband can accept influence from his wife. Hello. Are you out there, guys? Hello. Did you know the Bible says in Ephesians 5:21, we are to submit one to another? I've been all over the country, and so many guys will say, well, the Bible says the woman should submit. Completely avoiding and missing and ignoring the verse before that says, hey, let's submit one to another. God wants to make sure we get this really clear, what his real intent is, before he talks about some of the organizational structure that can go on in a family. A marriage succeeds to the extent that the husband can accept influence from his wife. That's powerful. All right. Stephen, put those headphones on. Our producer here, he was telling me about some of the things he's learned. Go right ahead. You're on the air, Stephen.
One of the things that I learned from you was where you said when a conversation begins or if someone's starting a conversation, make sure you look at them.
Yeah.
You know, so I can be looking at the TV and my wife comes in from the side and starts talking. And of course, another really important tactic is remote, because you put the thing on hold and then you look. Yeah. So it's actually a two-stage thing, but it shows Susan that I'm actually listening because I look at her and I put whatever we're watching on hold.
That's powerful. Eye contact is a very respectful thing, shows value to people. All right. All right, let's get back to our callers here. I think we're going to JC is next. What have you learned about all of this, JC?
Before, when I would get angry, I would hold it in, just kind of let it build up. I wouldn't want to talk about it. And my husband could always sense that something was wrong. So lately, I've been working on sitting down and talking to him about how I'm feeling, even if it's something little that he wouldn't think is important. If it's bothering me, I'll talk to him about it. He can help me through it, and it's helped us be able to open up with each other more.
So did you hold back? You just felt like it wasn't worth sharing it, or wasn't that important?
Yeah, or it was silly or something I shouldn't be emotional about, you know, so I would just kind of hold it in, but then it would bug at me, and I would just be grumpy the whole day, and he would be like, "What is bothering you?" You know, and finally I just realized I'll tell him and he will either just hold me if I start to cry or we'll talk through it or he'll say, yeah, I know what you mean. That would bother me too.
And what difference has it made in your marriage?
Well, we can open up to each other more, even on a day-to-day basis. Little things that, you know, will be like, oh, well, that bothers me when you do that. I love it when you do that or something. It's just easier to share those little things, and it just kind of brought us closer together. So
So you've developed the love habit to be short accounts. If you got an issue, bring it out, get it on the table, and discuss it.
Yeah. Yeah, and even if it's my own issue that, you know, has nothing to do with him, if it's drama with a friend or whatever, I can talk to him about it, and then it's not just building up inside of me, and he's able to help. Yeah. So it's been great.
That's good. You know, we got to keep short accounts. You know, the Bible talks about not going to bed with wrath, right? In the book of Ephesians, I suppose we could stretch that a little bit and say, don't go to bed with anything that needs to be said. It may not be wrath or anger or a big negative thing, just something that's on your heart, something that you want to communicate. Getting it off your out of your head and off your chest is important. Okay, it looks like we got some questions that are coming in. People that are saying, hey, I wish I had some more happy moments in my marriage. Hillary, you're next. What's your question? What are you frustrated about?
I've been married 5 years now, and I'm starting to find I'm so frustrated with our lack of communication. If I try to bring something up, to talk about something, you know, and if it's something we disagree on, he prefers just let's just not talk about it. And I try my best, you know, like let's compromise. Let's have a civil conversation and work this out. And his answer is I'm nagging and I'm complaining and he just wants to let it go. And I have such a hard time with this and then he gets kind of frustrated with me and so he gets very snippy and kind of belittling. And I'm trying my best to come up with better solutions. You know, and I've looked into marriage counseling, but I don't think he'd do it because he looks at like counseling. We don't need counseling. Really, we just need to learn to communicate and he's just not willing to try. I don't know, I just thought maybe if he had an idea, maybe some advice. You know, that thinks their only real problem that we can't seem to work through is he wants to ignore everything and I want to talk it out and figure out a solution.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, listen, I have a specific thing you can do, and you see it in the business world. Sometimes the most ineffective way to communicate is just walk in on someone with a problem. Their head is somewhere else, their mind is somewhere else, they're busy with something else, and we walk in and we lay on their desk a problem or a situation that you want to have resolved right now, and they're not in a position to even be there. That's not the way they're wired. And so what do? You schedule a meeting. You schedule a time. Can we get together this week? Something's come up. We need to talk about it. It's not urgent, but we should get it resolved this week. When are you available? Thursday, Friday afternoon? What's a good half hour That's about what we need, about a half hour. We can get through this. I think the same approach in our marriage. I know it sounds a little functional, a little, you know, too practical, but that's how it can work. Maybe every Friday night for an hour, we sit down and process the things that have come up during the week that we want to get resolved and nailed down and decide on. And so if your husband is saying, all we have to do is learn to communicate, take him to that commitment that he's made and schedule a time once a week. I think that could make a difference. Okay. All right. Let's go. Let me see here. Patricia, you're next. Sounds like you have a pretty heavy question. Well, what's going on?
Well, my question is, how do you communicate? My husband's not a Christian. I am. We've been married for 30 years. I try to listen carefully and repeat what he says, but he's one of those people that whatever he says is right, and whatever I say, if it doesn't agree perfectly with him, is wrong. And I need to know how to biblically get around that barrier so that God can reach him. I'm in a Bible study, ladies' Bible study, and three of us got together because we all have similar husbands and we have similar needs so that we can share them in safety with no one else. We share our concerns, we pray about it, we pray for each other for the areas that we need to be working on for our husbands.
Mm. All right. You know, here's the biblical answer to that, Patricia. The Bible says, to the extent that lie within you, live at unity and peace with everyone. And find out what are the triggers that set him off and don't push him. If preaching at him or criticizing him or whatever it is you're doing, even though you may think, I don't know why that sets him off, don't do it. I mean, that's a biblical response because we're different. We just talked about that a moment ago with Hillary, how it's easy to be frustrated when someone doesn't want to talk, doesn't want to resolve something, doesn't want to connect, doesn't want to engage. But if there's a serious problem that needs to be engaged, we lay it out. We say, look, honey, this is a problem. And at some point here, we got to talk about this. And that's important. Secondly, I'm just going to say this. Be careful, please. It's easy to get with other people and gripe about our spouse. Even in a Christian prayer group, come on now, prayer chains they used to have, right? I don't know if they still do that, but the prayer chains where prayer needs would fall down from one person to another could easily become gossip and criticizing. And I'm going to tell you something, ladies, if your husband knows that's going on, that's like a stick in the heart as far as the intimacy in your marriage. I don't know of any guy that says, I appreciate my wife sharing all of our problems with her friends. And so, yes, finding a counselor, having a best friend, family member you can pray with, I get it. I understand that, please. But it's dangerous sometimes to be with other people who have problems similar to yours if they're not building into your life. If it's a gripe session, a complaining session, that can become negative. And you have to use discernment. That's all I'm saying. All right, let's take a quick break. And I'll be right back. You know, it says in Matthew 7, ask and you shall receive. I think sometimes we think of that verse in terms of Lord stuff. You know, I'm going to ask and I'm going to receive stuff. That isn't what necessarily what God's speaking of. He's speaking of the things that we really need. Ask and you will receive. I think in prayer to say, Lord, I ask you to give me more aha moments. Keep the crisis moments away. I want more aha moments. I want to have more of those moments where I'm just, aha, I hear what you're saying. Your spirit is speaking to me. And as a result of that, I can make a decision to change. I can make a decision to move in a different direction, to make a better decision, to respond differently than I have in the past. When did you have your last aha moment? Maybe today, right? I don't know. But when we're sensitive, the Bible says those who have ears to hear, let them hear, right? And eyes to see, that's really telling us there are aha moments in life we should be listening to, and maybe you're getting one today. I hope so. Talking about these top seven from Dr. John Gottman, he's from the University of Washington. He developed strategies for predicting the probability of divorce, and according to his research, he gets it about 99 out of 10 times right. He studied videotape, talked with thousands of couples, and he looks at their interactions and communication style and he can predict which couples over the months or years ahead will stay together and which don't. I would think if somebody can predict that closely, we'd want to know what he'd learned. And seven of the things he shares are, these are tips, secrets for saving marriages. Seek help early, edit yourself. In other words, don't say everything that comes to your mind, soften your startup, which means don't escalate your arguments, accept influence. That's important. Number five on the list, his research shows, have high standards. Don't tolerate bad behavior from yourself or your spouse. Now, that doesn't mean just little irritating things that can drive you up the wall, but I'm talking about bad behavior. You got someone you're married to, and their behavior is such that it's violating your commitments and love and priorities. That needs to be addressed. It needs to be confronted. And again, sooner than later. How you do it matters, but it needs to be confronted. Number six, John Gottman found that those who learn to repair and exit an argument are more successful. Successful couples know how to exit an argument. Proverbs 18 says, an offended brother is more unyielding than a fortified city. And so learning to exit an argument, how do we stop when we're done with our discussion? Has there been a close in the loop? Or are we at a point of simply being able to say, hey, you know, we can come back, let's revisit this. Don't just leave things unresolved. And then number seven, I like this one. Gottman found that when you focus on the bright side, that's a predictor of success. In happy marriages, couples make at least five times as many positive statements to and about each other than they do negative statements. Which reminds me of Proverbs 17, a cheerful heart is certainly good medicine for your life and for your marriage. Well, the theme tells me we're out of time today. What do you think about this? What's your feedback? Tell me on our storyline at 888-888-1717. And I want to say a huge thank you. I really do. A huge thank you to our members who are supporting the ministry every month. Thank you for your faithfulness. We're closing out this fiscal year here at the end of June. We have that $50,000 additional need above our regular support to close the books and the month. And we're well on our way, getting close to 20,000 of that met with a matching gift. Thank you. Halfway, a little over halfway there. Your generous gift right now would make a huge, huge difference. Just go to theintentionallife.com or call 888-888-1717. This is Intentional Living. See you next time.